externally, your vote for delegates will also go until there are three delegates elected to the committee. So I'll go through the ballot.
In two elections.
Say that again.
Or we can reuse other. Or we can vote the directors separately.
Hold on. I'm different than what we were just doing.
Can you say that again with different words?
There's too many questions. Let's do two elections. Let's first elect three delegates, and then let's elect one director.
Under
the bylaws, it works somewhat like the Community Advisory Board in that it is supposed to evaluate station programming, station committees, station staffing, all those, however, with a specific eye for fulfilling the mission requirement for diversity.
Sounds like an
overlap. So it reports directly to the PMD regarding the station's performance in diversity, in its programming, its staffing, its governance, its management. It may report quarterly to the Pacifica National Board. It is, in effect, a national committee populated by all various stations.
And I'm sorry, it's three people?
Three delegates, and then both the three delegates and one director are elected from each LSP. Those four people may then add members to their committee, which are not necessarily LSP members. They add community members.
After they meet as a whole, not tonight.
Yeah, by majority vote, those four can add members to their committee.
And is it considered a committee or a task force?
It is a national committee.
Okay.
Is there anyone here who has actually been on that
committee?
Terry, is there anyone here who has actually been on that committee? Jonathan?
I've never received any notice from any meeting. I was positive that it never met.
Okay. That was going to be my question. If Terry was describing what the committee should do, my question to you is what the committee actually did do.
Let me just say that KPFK is about the most inclusive place I've ever been in my life. So I obviously overlap. That's what I assume is the reason why we never met. I never received any notes, and I defy anybody to point out another member
Thank you for coming just when a clap and applause to you. We're talking about the... Thank you. Rico, the question was that Jonathan Alexander asked, Terry didn't answer, is what was the Committee on Inclusion supposed to do? The question I'd like to put to you is, over the past year, what did the Committee of Inclusion actually do?
What did the Committee of Inclusion actually do?
I don't know if they did much of anything.
Did they ever meet, as far as you know?
But did you practice inclusion amongst yourself?
The community board. This is an extremely important committee, folks.
Right.
You know, Jonathan, you may think that KPFK is very inclusive at many times, but we don't know about the other stations, and in fact, the last LSB, I believe Kimberly King and I can't remember who was on it, but it did meet, at least periodically. But it's important. I mean, people are really diminishing what is an extremely important function. And I hope that, you take it seriously.
If the function has been accomplished, then how does it have to keep on doing it?
Racism is over.
It's great, but the point is, the last time the Committee of Inclusion was mentioned was in January of last year. And you know why? It's because it was election time. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying that it hasn't come up. Okay, it hasn't come up. Who's the chair of the committee? You know?
No,
anybody? Who's the chair of the committee?
I'm saying let's activate it.
Yeah.
Well,
when
you like to be on this committee,
yeah.
I would be willing, but I'm waiting to hear other people nominated. I have been nominated for two other committees.
I know.
There are a lot of people here who are not doing any national committee work.
Right.
Point of information.
Committee work.
I'm confused with the committee of inclusion and the racism, sexism, committee to end racism, sexism, and I'm not being cute here, I'm trying to get the name right. Is this an overlap, or do they do two distinctively different things?
What committee
is racism? She asked me to be on midway through last year, and I turned it down because I had so many other things.
That might be a subcommittee of the
right.
No.
So, Leslie, can you help me here?
Well, I can tell you the Committee of Inclusion has formal charges to report on conditions surrounding inclusion at the station.
That's not my question.
I don't know what the charge is for the racism, sexism, and other...
Okay, in other words, it's a mess. We got two committees that are in mess.
I know the charge for the Committee of the Inclusion is very clear in the bylaws.
I'm sorry, what?
The charge for the Committee of Inclusion is very clear in the bylaws. The task force, I don't know what the charge is. Rico is on that committee, perhaps he can tell.
The Committee of the Bylaws?
Is the name of the bylaws? Mr. Chair?
The Racism and Sexism Committee is a directors-only committee because its initial charge, when Bert created it, was to investigate allegations of racism and sexism that may arise primarily within governance about governance members. So it initially was to be an investigative committee of directors-only. It has since kind of evolved into just a forum for looking at issues that are similar to what the Committee of Inclusion looked at. Maybe part of the reason it evolved in that direction was because the Committee of Inclusion were having meetings.
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized for a moment?
Yes.
If I am elected to the Governance Committee, I might move that the two bodies be merged.
Yes, that's
one of the things. There should be some streamlining on a couple of different things.
I'd like to know if my chair could as eloquently explain what the Committee of Inclusion purpose was.
The
committee that we were just talking about is not a bylaws mandated standing committee.
The
other one is not.
In addition, there should be established in each of the foundation radio station areas standing committees of the board to monitor the underrepresentation of committees in their respective radio station areas. These committees of inclusion shall include the director of three RSD members from each radio station area, who shall be elected by their respective LSD, and such additional individuals as those four shall choose by majority vote. The committees of inclusion will monitor both station programming and staffing and consolidation with the LSD. They will also monitor the diversity of election candidates and work with the LSD's appropriate committees to improve the diversity of election candidates at the local and national level. These committees of inclusion shall monitor diversity, participation in consultation with the general manager, local committees, and the board, the status of which will be published and maintained in each respective radio station area. Communities deemed to be underrepresented by the committees of inclusion will be identified, and the extent of their underrepresentation shall be communicated to the board of the respective LSBs and any local outreach committee. Station managers and appropriate LSB committees will be expected to consider these communities in their future decisions about staffing, programming, and candidate outreach, subject to any applicable state and federal law and regulations. All station managers and committees with inclusion will report to the board and the respective LSBs quarterly on the status of diversity within the radio station areas. The board shall quarterly monitor radio station areas with identified underrepresented communities and any plans for addressing these underrepresented communities, increase participation. Where necessary, with due notice, the board will suggest and or direct managers and committees to implement specific measures to improve the status of underrepresented communities in their respective radio station areas. The board will assist and encourage station managers and committees of inclusion in finding new ways to improve recruitment efforts in their respective radio station areas.
Sounds like outreach.
Yeah, that's what it's telling me.
No. Well, it is.
Yeah.
If there's no person. I nominate Lucina Rose and Rosa Ford.
Well, let me open nominations.
Okay, and this is what we're voting on right now.
Nominations are now open for the committee and the inclusion.
We are also nominating the director.
The next election will be for directors.
Oh, okay. So this is only the OSC members.
Yeah, I can't force them to do
anything.
Okay. Do we have enough extra papers to do that?
We have three spots. Don't we list in a third person?
You sure enough, were you on this? Were you on this? Are you nominated on this?
No.
Ali.
Israel.
I'm already. I respectfully declined because I want to be a couple of
you. Oh, sorry.
Before you came in,
I didn't hear that.
I'd like to nominate Margaret Prescott.
Okay, who were the other nominations?
So we're not talking about Rachel, Margaret, and Israel.
No, I think I'm on it. I've already been nominated at the committee I want to be on.
I would like to nominate Tracy Larkin, though she means she's the president on that committee.
Margaret?
Any further nominations for the committee of
Well, but you have a way of dealing with it.
There are no further nominations for the Committee of Inclusion. The nomination is closed.
Is this the one?
No, there's another one. Okay, the nominations are Margaret Vesta, Rufino Juarez, Reza Ford, Tracy Larkins, and Yolanda Anguiano.
Yolanda Anguiano, I'm
not
sure. Yolanda?
Yes. Yolanda.
And who else?
Mr. Chair, can you repeat them, please?
Yes. Margaret Vesta, Rufino Juarez, Reza Ford, Tracy Larkins, and Yolanda and Deanna.
Is Tracy
here? Yep.
Is Tracy here?
Yep. Is that
the good one? If he forgot the
time, he didn't decline.
Okay.
Yolanda?
And we
vote on
it.
It's
pretty
easy.
Are nominations closed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're now opening nominations for director of the inclusion committee. Okay. You accept?
I'm sorry, what was that?
You accept the nomination for director of the inclusion committee.
Since you're so familiar with it.
Now, this is for the national level?
Yeah, the director of the whole committee, yeah.
I'm a local branch.
I didn't get you accept.
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, okay.
And thank you for nominating.
So we have two nominations, Leslie and...
I'd like to get some representation for Leslie and Gay, bisexual, transgender,
and both. Good. Then you could commit for it.
We'd like to have a board of some representatives.
Absolutely. Any other nominations?
Now you know how I feel about disabilities.
There are no further nominations.
Everybody's good.
I'll be happy to pass on this to anybody who wants to serve our archives, which actually seems to be a fairly energetic and engaged committee this year. We had our first meeting. We want to pass those on to the convener to the next.
Lamont would like to do
Has done considerable work with the archives.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, he has a real history with it. In fact, his students have to buy material.
A couple of reports.
I went on the archive.
Around the Pacific Archive.
Yes, I know. It came up at that meeting.
Oh, that's right.
Has a strong interest in being on that committee.
Is there going to be a vote for archives? Or are we on ballot?
No,
it's a task force, so we can just... What about picking up things out?
They're going to, he's going to get to you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'd like to request that we have the IED report after the CMB directory.
Yeah.
It makes more sense.
Okay, good.
Sequentially.
Oh, just a minute.
I don't know how long we have room for, but at some point we need to take some public comment if we're going to run out of agenda time. So
yes,
I just have to bring that up because it's like 9:35 last time. I think we're out like 10:30.
Public comment is going to
go. Well, we should do this.
Okay.
Let's just do this. Okay, the PNB met, as you all know, here in Los Angeles. Our hospitality was well thought of. And we have a new interim CFO, LaVarne Williams, and our legal counsel, Dan Siegel, has resigned, and we are in the process of bringing in interim legal help. These are interim positions so that we can do a much broader, thorough, professional search for a full-time executive director. I got to think of each one of these terms, and our counsel. And then we went on and we staffed our staff. We elected people, thank you very much. We populated. We'll get one of those terms of word. We peopled our committees, and now they are waiting for us to add to those committees. And I think I hit all of the... Oh, we did have a report in open session from the auditor, and I think you can still get a copy of it. There's some great concern throughout the network, and once the audit committee meets and gets a fuller, because they haven't completed the audit yet, we will pass that along to you, both in comments and writing, and try to bring us all together to put together a strategic plan to turn things around. And it is pressing. You know, we don't have a lot of time, so there's going to be a lot of movement on the PNB over these next few months to start to turn things around. So I think that now, Rico, you want to add anything to that? Or
I would like to add that there are three positions that are now vacant that HR really need to be filled, and that's the HR position, the CFO position, and the ED position. We have the acting, the interim.
Okay. They're not vacant. They're being held by...
They're not vacant. No, they're being held, but we need to find permanent people there permanently. Also, I would also like to give a quick shout out to the people who really helped make this event such a success. And a lot of those members are here tonight that were working, driving people, offering their home, taking care of the food and the coffee. It was people like Tracy Larkin. Can we help somebody help me name the other people? That's right, Bella and my man here, Maria. There were so many people, and it was a lot of directors,
yeah.
And they were very pleased with the way they were hosted by LA. Who arranged the venue?
Grace, which is
great for Grace to arrange the venue,
and
a lot of the other things. And that venue was a beautiful place to have
really
it in. And and the director really appreciated that.
Also arranged a new working majority and broke the deadlock on the PMB.
Yes, and I think that that is something that we should be grateful to Grace for.
We're hoping that it's not a majority as such, but we're hoping that we've actually gotten a board with some new people to come in that will actually hopefully build a bridge so that we can work as a unit and actually get some things done, because I think it's what Chris is trying to say. And it is seeming that we have a board that are willing and optimistic and open-minded enough to try and actually move forward as a unit. So it's very promising. We have an opportunity here, and as I wrote out in an email, that this is a crisis time right now. This board has to succeed, because if this fails, there is too much potential damage to our foundation. Mm-hmm. So we have to put our egos and we have to put our private agenda to the side for the benefit of the foundation as a whole. And if we don't, we shouldn't be there. And the people have elected us to do that. So.
One key point to add, I did bring forward the motion from this body regarding funding. This motion you put forward, if you need reminding, is about the PNB shall obtain from the national office and shall publish and provide each LLC with a detailed line item statement specifying the current debt, which is in the case of any new loan. You remember that one? Or any our motion of new loans? Put that forward, and it was referred to the governance committee, but I think it was generally applauded, at least in spirit, by the PNB, so we may get some motion on something like that.
While reporting on the national meeting, can you also report on any subsequent meetings of telecom?
Before I do that, I'd like to acknowledge two LSC members who put people up in their homes. Jan hosted Ursula Rudenberg. Chris had two PNB directors in his home and provided hospitality and transportation for them. That was Jamie Ross and Joe Longzala. Tom Camarello, who some of you may remember, and his wife Ronnie Jane, hosted two PNB directors at their home in South Carolina. And Alessa and Jonathan Alexander did quite a bit of transportation for PNB directors. Judy Alter, who some may know, is very active in the election protection movement, hosted two people at her home. Ken and I want to acknowledge my husband for doing much support, helping John Almella, doing some transport. We have five people at our home. So this was the cheapest PNB I've been in history. Volunteer efforts cost Davis Foundation, I'd say, between $10,000 and $20,000 at least. So thank you all for being willing to have people. It worked out very well, and the transport that was arranged. The teleconference, the in-person meeting, what are we doing in the teleconference? Is it an open meeting?
I've got it here. It was mostly housekeeping, Grace. You made a report. There was an ICFO report from LeVon. There was Richard Ingle nominated as interim secretary. The length of time that people speak. I'm looking for something here that...
Are there any motions?
There were, but they were mostly housekeeping. I have sent this out to all the LSD members, so you've got a copy of it. Draft minutes.
There was a motion...
There
was a motion to memorialize all of our legal and financial opinions that are officially brought before the board, and that got... Was it tabled or moved to governance? Or I'm trying to remember.
I've got it right.
Yeah, I'm trying to recall what happened to it.
Oh, let's Okay, it was tabled by Joe Lanzella.
Right. So we'll be taking it up next month. And perhaps moving to governance.
I've got a couple things to governance. For the life of me, they're not in here. I can't remember what they were. My brain is having...
That's all right. Well, governance hasn't convened yet either. I think once governance convenes and we see what they're dealing with, which they're going to, they're convening next week, I think.
Yeah, I need to get my motion.
Was that legal motion that has to do with everything up to date, or the future only, or both?
Yeah, well, it's going to, if it would have passed,
legal,
yeah, just, it means, yeah, everything from this point forward.
But not,
yeah, and we're not, and by the way, we're not asking for legal briefs, we're just saying, if, you know, if our counsel makes a legal opinion, write out of paragraphs, properly cited, so that members can do their own little bit of research, whatever they need to do. So this is not a burdensome task, this is in fact best practices of most boards.
And do we have an interim legal counsel at the moment?
Are you working here?
No, I was not. I did my counsel before.
Grace, you want to... Grace can answer your question better than I can.
I was given the authority to engage. We had an executive session of the PNB on Friday night after our open session. And what was reported out from that executive session was that there were four candidates for the position of Pacifica General Counsel, and
could you raise your voice a little?
Okay. And I was given the authority to engage a temporary Pacifica Counsel because we have pressing legal matters to deal with. As long as me and another PNB director interviewed them all. So Ifea Wangaza and I interviewed all four last Tuesday, and I have engaged one of them. However, I want to announce that on Friday in case that person chickens out. I'm going to give them a day. A little... Before I make the official announcement.
I would raise my hand before about I will say, but was there some kind of open search? The four people came as a result of an open search process.
I would say there was a somewhat of a search process. It was known to the PNB that this was an urgent matter, because legal counsel has to be found almost immediately. So a few PNB directors did put forth names, and that's how the names were gotten.
So is this temporary?
Yes. Temporary, that's what I just said.
Yes. Okay, but the point I want to raise my hand before is I would ask the directors to please either forward us, if possible, or at every LSD meeting, tell us what motions were before the PNB and what the issues were, because a general report does not really tell us, or the listeners, but back to the problem of reporting the listeners, and the listeners have no idea what's going on with the PNB, let alone us. I would request that the PNB delegates in their report include what motions were under consideration, what happened, how they're going to be implemented.
Okay, we need to move on. Because there is currently no interim executive EC, or there was currently no interim executive director for Pacifica, Sherry Gendelman, the chair of the Pacifica National Board last year, was holding that position because in California law, if there's no executive director, interim or permanent, the chair of the board automatically has that position. So I am now the acting de facto interim executive director of Pacifica because of the fact that we have not hired an interim executive director. That task has been a finding one. research, doing the search for one, is now in the personnel committee. And I hope that'll happen soon. So as acting interim executive director, there have been Thursday morning meetings of the general managers and the archives director, Brian DeShazer, and the affiliate director, Ursula Rudenberg. So I attend those Thursday morning meetings. I read the carefully read the strategic plan that's really not completed, forward by the five GMs and Brian DeShazer, because Ursula was not really part of that process. It's an excellent plan, except that it really has no short-term element to it, although some of it could be implemented in the short term. It's mainly focused on medium to long-range planning. I spoke with the GMs and at the Thursday meetings, and so far, except for KPFK, we intend to extend our fund drive until it meets goal. But all the other the stations are coming in quite a bit short in their fund drive, quite a bit short. KPFK came in at 77%, but after counting the web pledges and all of that, so they're 23% under. WBAI was under budget by, I believe, over 20%. I don't remember the exact figures. Anyway, I asked the, it seemed to me, by doing rough math in the meeting, that by and large the fund drives are coming in 20% below budget at all the stations. The GM agreed that that was the case. Now, it was the position of some on the Finance Committee last year that our shortfalls should be dealt with by taking austerity measures. As a member of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee, I did some calculations a few months ago. The fixed expenses of the stations are almost exactly 50% of the total expenses. So therefore, and those are things that cannot be really reduced. So that's like phone bills, electric bills, expenses of that nature, equipment, maintenance. Of the other 50%, the largest item is payroll. So a 20% or more reduction in gross income, if we balance the budget with only austerity measures, we would need to make roughly a 40% reduction in payroll, which is not tenable. That's absurd. Our stations cannot function, for the most part, reducing payroll by 40%. So we must concentrate on income improvement. That's the only way we can deal with the situation we're in. I explained the loan to the GM so that they understood that the only monies available with a $1 million loan, and the particular loan that had been considered was $400,000. Because the loan is a legal document, if it's earmarked for a certain thing by the bank, you cannot spend the funds on anything else without breaking the law. So basically, the only thing that could be used out of that $1 million was the $400,000 specifically earmarked for paying back bills. But anyway, that's getting into a complexity. So everyone, all the GMs agreed that the most logical short-term way to improve revenue is to make an all-out emergency effort to do fundraising, but also to improve programming, because our listenership has been sinking. It's been sinking for 4 or 5 years at the rate of between about 4 to 6% across the board, across the network. Our net income statistics directly parallel our sinking listenership. So our only way out, since to use only cuts in expenses will kill us, we must figure out a way to really radically improve our listenership. And with that, in a short period of time, we expect significant improvement in gross income. Even taking into consideration, because we have to realize that with a sinking economy, that's really further impacting us negatively. But this decline that I'm talking about started 4 or 5 years ago. It's not totally explained by the economic problems of the society in general. So that's what we're concentrating on. I sent out a request. I wrote a report, sent it to the GM, sent it to the PMD, and I mentioned the report that I would be asking each individual GM to present to me an emergency plan to improve revenue, including specific steps that will be taken to implement the plan with a timeline, and then a short-range strategic plan for their individual station to both increase revenue and reduce expenses that can bridge into medium and longer-range strategic plans. So I'm asking the individual GMs within 2 weeks to bring a plan to me, so for emergency measures to be taken, so that we can balance these budgets, because otherwise we're not sustainable. There really are no reserves left in the national office to cover the expenses of the station should they not be able to cover their own expenses. But that's about it.
Any questions?
Yes. Is there a common question? When will that be?
Yeah.
Then what time are we going to be out of here?
Okay. I'll take a couple of questions from the board, and then I'll ask you a question.
Okay.
You had a question.
I'll let them go first.
I have a question. Grace, on which side of the fixed versus variable? You said 50% are fixed expenses and 50% are not fixed expenses. Which side of that is Democracy Now and the $600,000 per year that we pay them, and what is the prospect of renegotiating that amount of money so that it comports with our ability to pay?
That's a good question. I have not had the chance, because I have most of my attention is focused in the last week and a half on just actual housekeeping stuff at the national office. But there was some negotiation happening with that, because we owe several months of size to Democracy Now. But the GMs are petrified at the prospect of losing Democracy Now, or even losing Amy's willingness to continue to pitch for us, because it generates so much income for the station. So it's a delicate matter. I haven't started in with the negotiations. I don't really know what the past negotiations were.
Okay, but back to the first part of the question, which side of the fence is that on, the fixed or the variable?
That would be on the fixed fence.
Okay.
I have a point of information. Before people came, several of us had a very long discussion with Sean about this. And the GMs, and Sean in particular, but the other GMs as well, are not at all happy. Democracy Now! Is not a great fundraiser anymore. And there's tremendous concern on the part of the GMs that we are paying significant tax for Democracy Now! To be broadcast at these small stations for free or very little money. And certainly, as we had quite a long discussion before people came, several of us were gone. And I guess that they are going to raise it in the Bay Area. Democracy Now! Is on an AM station, competing with KPFA. So there's some serious issues being raised about Democracy Now! Aside from the issue of contact, which I don't feel about. But there's some serious issues about what this is doing, and are we basically subsidizing Democracy Now! For all these other places? So the GMs are apparently not happy about it.
Well, I would hate to lose Democracy Now! I don't think we have to lose Democracy Now! But I think that we don't think we have to renegotiate based on changed circumstances.
We don't have a long time on this, but we have a tie, and Terry.
Oops, Terry, you just got a bunch of ballots.
I'm only carrying for one way. Oh, no, he's a blank. Okay, yeah, we have a tie for the second seat in the governance committee. Equal ballot between Israel Foyer and
Coin flip. Because she may want to know that's not the rule.
I see your point. Your point is, you want to vote to have the alternate on this committee election serve if the elected person is fine.
So we don't need to alphabetically.
F comes before J. The winner of the coin toss will be eliminated. So.
If anybody did not, email kpfksurveys@gmail.com.
Hold on. What does that even mean?
You don't get another Wednesday, and the deadline is the week of tomorrow. Take it.
What is the deadline on that?
A week from tomorrow. Wednesday, the 22nd.
The character's romantic interest cost many lives, not his own, ultimately his own. If anybody remembers Moby Dick, but the character's most romantic interest cost many lives, including his own. In Carter Sparks' doctoral thesis, she gets it right. Academia always gets it wrong. The revolution against England in 1776 was a case where the cost of rent and cost of housing went up threefold in 5 years. Academia gets it wrong. We have in our network far greater ears than our universities have. We have no business going to our universities to get their opinion.
If
Bella.
Okay, here we go. Each and every one of the PMB members, I don't know if it was filtered down to the LSB here, and I hope that it was filtered down to other LSB members across the network, because this auditor report, it is critical. And if you're not, if you have no knowledge of how bookkeeping functions, balance sheet, P&L, it makes it, you know, it's a bit overwhelming. But you have got to really pay attention to this report. It is very critical. It is damning what the auditors have to say, caught on film. It is damning. And I want to remind you, Grace, you being the chair, and you happen to be the chair of California, of our LSB, you know, the chair of PNB National, is that every PNB has a great deal of fiduciary responsibility. It is a legal situation. The reason why we are in the mess that we are is because no one has taken responsibility for so many years. I do agree with you that our membership has been suffering ever since. It has not been 5 years. It has been 7 years. Okay, and I wanted to say that I got a very damning document from KPFA, what is going up, what is going on up there. So they're also suffering. They're also very concerned about programming. We need rotation of programming so we can get more voices in. We're always told that there's not enough time in the clock, the day clock. Well, the clock is 24 hours. But if we rotate programming instead of grandfathering them in, we can begin to develop new voices and new voices, new visions, radical topics that we have alienated. We have actually disenfranchised the radicalism of the 60s, 50s, and 70s that Pacifica was so well known for. That's why I keep saying that if Malcolm X was alive today, he would have no reception, no proper reception in today's climate of Pacifica. But I'm an independent voter, and it's very hard to get that independent. Okay, real quick, I wanted to say there are, IRV is missing on voting. I have heard nothing about it, even the city council is considering this in all
I want
Armando Godinho to be taken out as soon as possible. He has caused not only this.
Bella, that's out of order.
I want him out.
Okay.
Okay,
Omar.
Omar, step up.
I'm a volunteer for KPFA. But anyways, I want to encourage more of the effort of working radical envelope for listeners as well as newer producers such as, you know, kids that are like either in their teens or, you know, 20s or even more younger producers, you know, within the movement. Because so far, we have lost a very important producer, and that's Fidel Rodriguez, you know, Divine Forces. And Soul Rebel Radio is pretty much one of those programs that needs a whole lot of attention, as well as, you know, encouragement among others, you know, volunteers in that age group to bring within the Pacific Ocean. So I just wanted to bring that up and thank you.
Yeah, I hope I don't get cut off because I've been patiently waiting here to have my say. I think when we talk about austerity measures, that on the big side, that we're paying out a big lump of money on that fixed end of the budget, then we need to really take a serious look at that. Because we're not only hemorrhaging listeners, but we're also losing talented staff, and volunteers are really also turned off. So I'd like us to also look at that. In regards to, I felt really insulted tonight when the patronizing attitude of some on this board in regards to the Committee of Inclusion. I mean, I just want to echo Sherman's words of how important that is. And the patronizing of such a committee like that really diminishes its importance, okay? And it also diminishes any possibility of people being involved. Kimberly King, Bill Gallegos, Lydia Verzone, I also said in a couple of committee of inclusion meetings, and it is very important. It helped bring the first community advisory report together that got us a whole lump sum of money when the state wants to declare a minority station. Okay, so, you know, I don't mean this to insult anybody. I just mean this for you to really check your privilege and your consciousness when it comes to these types of things. Also, I want to give props to the station, because what I'm hearing in regards to, you know, the fund drive appears to be mission-driven when it comes to helping the homeless. I think that's fantastic that you guys are doing that. That's mission-driven, and I think that attracts people to pledge, you know, and it's always been that the more radical and more hard-hitting our fund drives are in regards to exposing issues, the more participation we get from listeners.
Okay.
I just wanted to say this one last thing, and I'll finish. I've been here almost 3 hours, people. Just give me about 30 seconds. Okay, give me about 30 seconds, and I'll finish. Monday morning, background briefing had a special edition.
Monday.
Ian Masters went off on the previous management, went off on a tirade and a rant. Okay? That wasn't okay. I mean, whatever's happened before, that's in the past, we're moving forward. I'm saying that's not okay. So that needs to be checked.
Okay, fine. We have to get out of
here. Motion adjourned.
Second.
No, we have to lose our jobs.
On
the programming committee, we have a three-way tie for second and a two-way tie for third. Odds are both of these third places are going to be eliminated, but in order to follow the instructions, I got to eliminate one first. And that will be Poyer or Condon from the third place.
Which committee?
Program committee. Both are likely to be eliminated, but to determine which one I first eliminate.
Go ahead and eliminate.
That is Condon and Poyer.
I'm going to go to the next one.